Hey, this is David Perdue from MyNAMS.com and the NAMS Insiders Group, and this is the monthly micro workshop that we do. Every month we try to do a micro workshop for our Insiders Group that takes an essential business topic and really goes deep on it. And this time we are digging into advanced affiliate marketing strategies, and Connie Reagan-Green, one of my best friends in the world, and one of somebody that I respect incredibly, is going to teach us all about advanced affiliate marketing. And I can't think of anybody better to do this, because Connie has gone from zero, basically, to seven figures, and a lot of it through affiliate marketing. And she's known as a super affiliate and somebody who really knows how to train on this as well. And she's done it all with a really small list. She started with a very small list, and I think it was you made your first, let me see if I remember this correctly, Connie. We'll see if I've got it right. I think your first 100,000 was with 651 people on your list. Is that right?
Exactly right.
How about that?
Well done.
Off the top of my head.
Well done.
Yeah, and so I'm excited to introduce Connie, and I'm going to let her go. She's got about 20 slides to prepare us, and then we're going to go into a discussion, and I'm going to take notes in our mind map that we use for our checklist and everything in the afternoon. So, Connie, welcome. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thanks so much for having me, David, and welcome, everyone. Thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to be here. So these are some advanced affiliate marketing strategies, and I say here it's for the fearless, the ambitious, and the courageous entrepreneur. I thought that that really covered everyone.
It does.
So affiliate marketing, like David said, is really, really very, very profitable. And you can take it to a new level by doing some extra things, because most people get bogged down in those beginning skills. But once you've mastered that, then you really want to go forward in a big way. And I'm going to share three of these strategies with you today, and then we're going to really go deep with each one of those so you can see affiliate marketing from maybe a little different perspective. So first I'll tell you a little bit about me. I'm a former classroom teacher, so I've taught all the way K through 12. And 5th and 6th grade are my favorite grades to teach, because they really need an adult role model at that point. I was teaching inner city Los Angeles, and 5th and 6th grade, they get my jokes, and they really were wonderful to work with. And then also in my spare time, which you don't have much spare time as a teacher, I was a real estate broker and a residential appraiser. So basically for 20 years, I had very little time to do anything else. I've had health issues, and also I had an injury at work. I was putting up a bulletin board Friday at noon. The principal shook her finger in my face and said, "I want that bulletin board up before you leave for the weekend." And she didn't say it as nicely as I just said it. And so I stood on the sink in the back of the room, and I was trying to get everything just right, and I fell and ended up having knee and shoulder surgery within a few months. So between that and having other issues, including cancer, I thought, you know, I really have to do something else. What I'm doing is too physically demanding, and when I'm not able to do it, I have no money coming in, so I've got to really change my perspective. Also, kind of simultaneously, it was 2005, I was turning 50 that summer, and also I really kind of came to the conclusion that I wasn't living the life that God had intended for me, and so I was seeking something more from that perspective as well. And I found that people were doing business online, and within a year I had resigned from teaching, given away my real estate clients, and now my life is very, very different. So I'm able to now do things with charities. I had always wanted to be involved with fundraising, and I didn't even know what that entailed at the time, and now I'm able to do a whole lot of that and a lot of volunteering. Also, I have meaningful time with my family that I didn't. I used to miss every occasion, every event, and that's no longer the case. And also, I get to travel. I wanted to travel for years, but it was very rare that I did get to go anywhere in the U.S., let alone overseas. And, it says my computer is overloaded. Would I like to? No, I don't want to do that. It shouldn't be. I shouldn't be overloaded. All right. So now I'm able to travel around the world, and it's so exciting. These are some of the charities that I'm involved in. I won't go into too much detail. Mainly, I didn't realize it at the time, but mainly what I do involves children and animals. And so these are just some of the groups that I've been able to really participate fully in and enjoy that so much. Then this is travel that I'm able to do. On the left, I'm in China, and it's the Bird's Nest where they did the Olympics. On the right, I'm in Thailand, and this is work that I've done with Rotary, with orphanages and other organizations around the world. So it's wonderful to be able to be a part of this and really make a difference in the lives of people, many of whom I'll never, ever meet. This is also my family, my extended family from Finland, and this year, in the summer, I'm bringing 6 people from Finland to the U.S. for the first time ever. It's very, very exciting. They never thought I'd be able to do it, and really, we were just waiting for those 2 littlest guys to be old enough, and they're 5 and 6 and a half right now, so it's going to be perfect, and I'm so excited to be able to share my country with them after them sharing their country with me for so many years.
Well, that's amazing. I mean, that's got to be incredibly satisfying to you.
It really is, and it was very frightening for them because we talked about it every summer. And last summer when I was ready to leave, I said, I'm not coming back next summer. And they said, what do you mean? And I said, it's finally your turn. We've talked about it. It's your turn. The little ones are going to be old enough for you to all enjoy the trip very much. And they said, okay. And they still weren't believing me. And in the fall, I said, you know, we really want to get ready for this. I want to make sure everybody has their passport, and they all do. And then during Christmas time, I said, I really need the dates because I'd like to buy the tickets by the end of January, so I need the exact dates you're available so I can purchase the tickets. And that's when they got very, very nervous. They were scared. It's very scary. So I've taken them slowly through the process, and now we're just full-on excited for them to come.
Oh, good. Good.
All right, so what is affiliate marketing? I'll just give a definition again, even though this is advanced. It's the process of recommending what you love to your friends and business associates in return for monetary compensation. So just like we wouldn't share a restaurant or a movie that we had not eaten at or seen with people, you don't want to share something that you haven't actually participated in to some degree. So we'll talk about that. All right, strategy number one. So if you're taking some notes, you may want to jot down some now. Teaching someone else's program. Now, I did this for a couple of years with a lady named Dr. Jeanette Cates, and she had something called the Incubator Program. And the Incubator was for people getting started on the Internet. And this was back in 2008 when I started doing this, and this was before I had a membership site of my own or was doing group mentoring. And I thought, boy, I wish I had something like the Incubator. And I sat with that for a day or two, and finally I said, well, gee, I don't have the Incubator, but Jeanette does. So I called up Jeanette, and I said, Jeanette, I would love to teach the Incubator. And she didn't know really what I meant by that. And I said, well, you know, I have some people in there through my affiliate link with you, and I'd like to expand that. I'm going to mail for it and do teleseminars. I'm going to bring more people in. And then what I'd like to do is to be able to go in, to log into the Incubator with those people that then are also members of it, and I would like to guide them, and I want to do it either 6 or 8 weeks. And she said, well, yeah, that sounds great. So I wanted to get her blessing with that. And so I brought people in, and that 6 to 8 weeks lasted a couple of years.
That's brilliant. I love this. And I'm already, the wheels are turning.
And NAMS can be perfect for it because I'll tell you a benefit to doing this. You end up knowing that program inside and out. I was able to tell her that there was a video that stopped at minute, you know, whatever, 8 minutes and 10 seconds. I was able to tell her about another audio training she had in there. I said, that information has changed. I don't remember now what it was. I said, that's changed. If you could go in there and update it, that would be fantastic. And she hadn't taken the time to do that on a regular basis, so I was able to go through it with a fine-tooth comb. I knew every single thing. And I would tell her, I would say, you know, when I'm teaching Module 3, I have them just skip that one section because I don't think it's relevant. And then she'd go in and just eliminate that section. And then I'd say, also, at the end of Module 5, if you could just add this other thing, my people would love it. And so she started doing that. So her incubator became stronger and stronger and stronger, and I earned so much money, and it launched me as an online trainer.
There you go.
So this is really, this is just really, you know, a wonderful, wonderful, and I see NAMS as being so perfect for this. And, you know, in the beginning, commit to something short, but then don't be surprised if people aren't so excited they'll want you to extend it. So you're looking for somebody else's program to teach, an existing and ongoing program or membership site. And honestly, I can't think of anything that would be more suitable to this than NAMS. I think it would be wonderful. And there's so many different sections. It's so multi-layered that you could go through one section of something for, you know, 6 weeks or so.
Well, you could even walk people through the dashboard that we have, the module, the 52-module dashboard.
Yes.
Just as a weekly webinar kind of thing or something. I mean, it'd be amazing
to do that. Yes, because you become their tour guide.
That's right.
And they really trust you. You're a trusted advisor. You're earning money because, you know, in the beginning, I was going to be happy if I made just a few hundred dollars a month from it over that 6 to 8 weeks. So if I made, whatever, $500 or something, I would have been happy back in 2008. It ended up many, many, many thousands of dollars, and so my time was valued more highly than it ever had been in the past.
And how was your relationship with Jeanette?
Oh, that really solidified the relationship because I'm glad you're bringing that up, because when I would talk about this, I would say that every person has something that's their baby. That's what they love more than anything. And when you think their baby is cute and brilliant and talented, then they love you so, so much. So with Jeanette, the incubator was her baby. With you, David, NAMS is your baby.
Right, that's right.
Right? So when we say something nice, you love that. When we say something critical, then you don't love that. And it's just like with a human baby or an animal baby, I guess, where that relationship really builds because you love their child.
Well, whenever you send me a note or one of the instructors send me a note or one of the students who's really involved in the program sends me a note that says, like you were saying, you know, this is really kind of an outdated piece right here, or, you know, maybe we need to have more advanced training on affiliate marketing, you know, then I listen to that because I'm always trying to improve the baby, as you're saying.
Yes. Yes, and so, yeah, so for relationship building with that person, then it really is a fantastic way to go. All right, let's talk about strategy number two, creating a unique bonus. Now, this may seem like something that you're saying, well, I already knew that, because we know a bonus works, but I'm going to go into a little bit more detail with it. You want to think of what specific thing would help people the most with whatever it is that you're promoting. So I'm going to give some examples. And coaching, or maybe an existing or a new product that you have. So ask yourself first, what special skills or insight do I have that would be useful and helpful for those purchasing this product or service? So I'm going to give a few different examples. One I'm going to give is Wishlist Members. So this is a membership site plugin through WordPress, and I actually know Stu McLaren and Tracy Childers that started this. We're all still in a mastermind together. It's been 6 years. I just saw Stu in Toronto, and that was a lot of fun. He lives up there, and I have a great relationship with them, partly, though, because I promoted Wishlist Member back in its infancy because I knew them. So this was 2008, 2009 when it really got started. And I thought, okay, what do people really want and need for them to buy it? Well, back then, the big thing was, oh, well, great, now do I have to hire somebody to install it? And I thought, no, I've learned how to install it. I'm going to offer to install it for them. So that was the first unique bonus that I gave. Sure, buy Wishlist Member, send me your login information for your site, I'll connect it for you. And after I did it about 20 times, I could do it in about 7-8 minutes, I won't say 5 minutes because there were more things to set up, and I learned a few more things so that finally I could set it up a little bit more completely for them. And people love this. They ate it up because the tech part wasn't an issue any longer. So then the next year they had their second or third anniversary, whatever it was by then, and they again were having an affiliate contest, and I thought, okay, what is it that people want and need now? After they have it, you know, like they know that I'm going to install it for them, what's keeping them from having a membership site? So I asked them. I said, you know, what is it? And they said, well, what are we going to put in it? We don't have any content. And so I gave my bonus and I said, you can have some of my content. And what I was giving them was my free calls. I was doing free teleseminars then. I still do some now. And I gave them those audio files, so they could fill up their site for business training with some of my audios, and it promoted me at the same time, and they knew that. They were promoting me, but also they could start with maybe a dozen of my recordings, so they had ready-to-go content while they were starting to create their own and finally could replace mine if they wanted to. So this works very, very well. The last example of this I'll give you is of Dennis Becker has a Amazon FBA, Fulfillment by Amazon training that he's selling actually right now, and he'll continue to sell it. And I thought, okay, what's a unique bonus I could give for that? And I thought, well, I'm doing Amazon FBA now. How about if I took a look at their first product listing and I could give them some tips? Because right now, it only takes me a couple minutes to take a look and see what they could do to improve it that would take them 10, 15 minutes and help them actually make sales. So these are unique bonuses that you can come up with.
Uh-oh, we're in a contest right now with that. I better get out there and pay some attention. Sounds like you got something coming on.
Yeah, but you're crushing me like a bug, and that's okay. I've become more relaxed about affiliate contests.
Yeah.
Because I always have multiple. I have rolling promotions is what I call it now, so I always have something coming, something going, something in the middle. So, yeah, I'm thrilled that you're doing well. But, yes, being able to take a look at that product listing and make some, you know, say, oh, no, here in your title, add this. Or here you have this in the description. No, don't put that. Put this instead. So it ends up working very, very well with this. And, you know, it's unique. You are the only one that will have it that way. Even if somebody else was going to do what I did, they would do it in a different way. So that works well. All right. This is the big one. This is strategy number 3. JV with another affiliate for a big promotion. And I'm just going to let this sit for a few seconds. All right. I have not seen you do this, David, so I don't know if you do this and I just haven't seen it, or I don't know if you've seen this and you don't like how it's done. I'm not sure. So let's talk about this. You want to find people that are always on the leaderboard. What I like about some of the biggest people doing, you know, launches out there is they always publish their leaderboard either within an email or on a joint venture, you know, a JV blog or something that they have. So from the beginning, I've always seen the people. And at first, it used to be that my goal was to be on the leaderboard. That was really cool for me to be one of the people, even if I was number 20 long ago, which I used to be. And, you know, finally with, like, Alex Mandozian, I tied for number 11 or 12. So that was very exciting. But finally, I thought, you know, I want to see this in a different light. So I looked at people that were always in the top 5, maybe top 10. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I bet that they would want to JV with someone like me that can't possibly get into the top 10 because my list isn't as big. I'm not as big a name. And I can come in. So I can go on the coattails of what they're doing, and it helps them to place up much higher. But also, I can bring in money. And I mean, I did this recently, and it really brought in a mid-5 figures for me. And it was only a 10-day time. And I won't say what it is. I think I thought about it, and it's really better if I don't say which launch mm-hmm. that it was. Mm-hmm. It works better with people using Infusionsoft because then they can create a unique link for you. And what you do is then you promote it. You make it transparent. You say, I'm promoting this, but I'm doing it on behalf of, I'm doing it through this other person or these other people, and this is my bonus. Now with this, my bonus tends to be that I put them in a small group, not a Facebook group. They have too many Facebook groups. Instead, I put them in a small group, and then I do a webinar every month where I can keep people focused, keep them on track. They know I can answer their email. It's something in addition that will be extremely helpful to them. And these are for programs that are going to cost a minimum of about $2,000 for somebody to buy into. So they understand that they're getting all of the bonuses that the main affiliate is offering, but they're also getting that bonus coaching time with me. And I have done this now for about a little over a year with different people, and it works very very well.
So explain this a little more. How do you monetize for yourself in a situation like that?
Okay, so I see the launch that I want to be involved in, And with something like this, I recommend that it be something that you're buying into yourself. You want to be a part of it, because that adds to your credibility and also will give you that insight to really be able to help people. Then you go to the affiliate that you have built a relationship with, and you say, I see that you're promoting this program. I would like to promote it through you. Are you open to that? And at this point, almost everybody seems to be open to that. And so then they create a unique link for me, so that when people sign up, they're signing up through me, but the way Infusionsoft works is that link then shows that it's going through that main affiliate.
Okay.
All right. So then income-wise, then I'm sharing that affiliate commission with them. So I can only make half as much commission.
Okay.
But I can make about 20 times as many sales at least, because the other person is more well-known and is offering bonuses I could not possibly offer.
Mm-hmm.
Things that they have spent a lot of time and a lot of money creating, especially if it's software that will aid in the program.
And you're making more sales because you're able to leverage their bonuses and their name as an added benefit for buying through you.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And people will write to you and they'll say, you mean I get all of those bonuses plus yours? And so I say, yes. So because they want me to really spell that out for them, that it was what they thought it was. And so that's great. Then, during the actual promotion, which like this last one was 10 days, then I'm on Skype with those affiliates several times a day in the beginning and at the end, saying, okay, these are the people that say they're coming through. Are you showing that? Because I can't see the names. And then they'll say yes, 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 or they'll say no, don't see that one. Then I'll write back to the person. Did you use a different name? What's the email address you signed up under? And they're making that clear so that by the end of that promotion period, you know exactly who came in through you so that you can then deliver your bonus program, whatever it is. And then that's all confirmed through that affiliate. So, of course, it's going to be an affiliate that you've connected with in the past.
Actually, the strategy number three kind of combines your first two strategies. A little bit, because you're teaching someone else's program through your webinar bonus or whatever you're doing, offering there. And then you're also, you've created a unique bonus for a product, and then you've leveraged the joint venture, which is the kind of the layered third strategy, which is pretty brilliant. I saw you doing this through this promotion you're talking about in the last few weeks, and wondered how you were making that work. And this is really interesting. It's something to look at for sure for those of us who don't have the big list.
Right, right. And I think also another aspect of this is then I am much more likely to go to the affiliate and say, you know, you're offering great bonuses. Have you considered adding this? Or have you considered tweaking one of the bonuses to make it do that? I have a little bit more of a say-so in what goes on, because they know that I have a group of people in there that are then talking to me and saying, boy, I really love this if it only did this. You know, or I love what he's doing. If he only could add this, then it would be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And they may not be seeing it on that level because they're on to something else. That way they can go back and make what they did even better, even more perfect than it was.
Cool.
All right, so getting started, you know, we all have to start at the beginning. You want to position yourself as an expert. Engage in meaningful conversations. I started using this word meaningful more and more, because just talking to someone may not be so meaningful. Stay focused, keep your eyes on the prize or prizes. All right, so positioning yourself as an expert, make sure that you've got books, a blog, a podcast, a YouTube channel, social media profiles, and that you're attending live events. These are all things that will help you with advanced affiliate marketing, because people will see you very differently. And when I attend events now where I don't know the people, I'm always amazed when they see me. They have elevated me, which I find very interesting, so I have to very quickly show them that, you know, I'm just like everyone else. It's kind of funny, but positioning yourself as an expert will give you these opportunities to do these things that you may not have otherwise. So these are just some of my books. I now have so many books that it crowds the slide. And I love crowding the slide. It doesn't even show a couple of my slides here. This is the first time that I came to NAMMS. I believe it was August 2011. Does that sound right, David?
It does.
Okay. And what I did was I had, you know, people that came in through my affiliate link to the event. They took my word for it that this was going to be a great event. I wanted them to be there. And when we came in the day before, I parked us right in the lobby so that David and everyone that was speaking, because I wasn't speaking that first time, everybody was part of it, they had to kind of trip over us. And obviously, we were there for NAMMS. We weren't there for something else. And that really helps with expert status. And some of the people there, Helen went on to be a presenter, and I hope Adrian will be by next year. And, you know, so many people have gone on to do some great things.
Well, and I would say that probably two-thirds of those people there, in fact, maybe all of those people there, have come back several times and are like your little ducklings that follow you around there. You know? And you really take care of the people. So, you know, you're pushing Adrian out there. She's one of your coaching students, so you're really pushing her out there so that she's doing what she needs to do these days. And Helen, who won the affiliate contest, I think at that NAMMS, she won as a student at that NAMMS, and that would have been like NAMMS 6, so that would have been a long time ago, and you're keynoting this time in August.
Yes, have some interesting information to share. Yes, and the lady in the back with the green vest, that's Judy Mick,
right.
And she's got great things coming along as well. But, you know, and then the next time, I mean, you were kind enough to give us a room because finally I had 25 to 30 people and everything. But, you know, the point I'm making with this is by doing this, you really elevate yourself to expert status that will really help with all of your affiliate marketing.
Well, and as the person who put that on, I have to tell you that when I walked down the hallway for the first time and saw you and that group there on Thursday afternoon or Thursday morning, I thought, oh, wow. Something's already cooking, and I don't know about it.
Yeah, because that was back before you did anything on Thursdays.
That's right.
So, you know, and then I saw you and recognized you and was able to introduce myself to you in person, and you came over and spoke to the group that was, you know, so meaningful to them, so special for them when the person who puts on the event and has put it on several times before takes that time to come over and ask their name and ask what they're doing and to share more about the NAMMS event, that kind of thing.
And you and I didn't know each other that well then, and I basically knew you because Nicole had recommended you, and the reason that I knew you then was because you had sold all those people in. And so, you know, when you make sales, people get to know you.
Yes, they want to know who that is. You don't just say, you know, oh, this person made sales, no big deal. It is a big deal. It's a big deal because they've told other people that your baby is cute and smart and talented.
And that positions you as an expert immediately.
Yes. All right, so these meaningful conversations, you know, think about who you can reach out to. And social media really allows us to do this in a big way. So there have been authors, there have been all kinds of people that normally I wouldn't be able to have access to, and I'm able to have conversations back and forth and to really discuss things that will be beneficial to both of us. And then I want to meet them in person, so I find out where are they going to be. And if that's, you know, only in Providence, Rhode Island during Labor Day weekend, perhaps I'll actually go there. And I'll share something with you here that I did in, I want to say 2008. I think it was 2008, maybe into 2009. I had been, like I said, I tied for 11th or 12th as the affiliate for Teleseminar Secrets with Alex Mendozian. And that's when he and I first connected, and that's why I know what you said at the beginning, David, that I had reached, you know, 100,000 a year with 651 names on my list. And Alex had been so good to me, and he wanted me to be his Huge Profits Tiny List person, so I started the blog, you know, based on what he wanted me to do. He wanted me to post once a week to that, and I said I could do it twice a week. And he said, you could, because he doesn't like to write. And I said, I could make that happen. So I did, and then within a few months, I turned that into a book. So I had not met Alex in person, and I found out that he was going to be appearing at a women's small business conference down in Orange County, which is about 80, 90 miles south of me. And so I, you know, reached the the group, and I said, would it be all right if I just came for one day? It was 3 days. And they said, sure. So they registered me for one day. I got in my car early in the morning. I got there. And one reason that this was going to be perfect was that a lot of people didn't know Alex at this event. So I figured I'd have some time to be able to talk with him. So I was sitting there, and they had a continental breakfast, and people were starting to file in. It was going to be a very large meeting. At some point, there ran a couple hundred people there that day. And I was talking to a woman, and she said, oh, I think that's Alex Nandosian or something like that. And I looked over, and I said, oh, it is. So I talked to her another minute or two. I excused myself. I went over and met Alex, spent about 20 minutes engaged in a meaningful conversation with him, stayed for the morning session, and then drove back home. So I went almost 200 miles round trip just to spend that time with him. He found out a couple years later what I had done, that I hadn't been there for that three-day event, and that I came specifically to meet him in person, and that meant a lot to him. So reaching out to someone, finding out where you can meet them in person, and then already deciding what kind of things you want to say to them, how you want to share your information with them, what kind of give and take you want, very, very special. I don't know if you've ever heard that story.
I hadn't heard that. Can I tell you my reaching out story real quickly?
Yes, please.
One of them is Alex, and one of them is Kathleen Gage. And Alex is new in my life. Alex came to the last workshop, and I had never purchased any of his products previously, not the Telesim and our secrets and not anything else. And Alex is actually my coach now. And this has happened in the last 6 months. And the reason that this has happened is because a mutual acquaintance connected us. We got on a hangout together, and we talked about NAMS. Alex was interested in hearing about NAMS. So we talked about NAMS, and I told him what it was, and he liked the idea and immediately accepted coming to NAMS at his own cost, no pay, all that stuff, as one of our keynote speakers. He was so blown away with NAMS that he is coming back this time as the MC for the entire weekend for NAMS. And he has invited me to come to his event in July, where I'm going to be helping him teach at something called Event Marketing Roundtable. And it's for suppliers. And it's really going to help me build my sponsorship base. So Alex and I have built this really good relationship based on just a meaningful 10-minute conversation that we had via Hangout. And that was great. The second thing, though, was that I did what you did. I went to Willie Crawford's birthday bash, his 50th birthday bash in Florida, just to meet Kathleen Gage, because Kathleen, I'd heard her on a podcast, and I thought, this woman is somebody that I can really relate to. And she became instrumental in the early days of NAMS of bringing in the right kind of people with that kind of spiritual base, and authors and women who identified with her. And I didn't know that, didn't plan that, but it worked out that way. And basically what I did was heard her speak on Friday morning at that birthday bash. After that, I went up to her and I said, I want to buy you lunch. Can we do that? And she said, sure. So I bought her lunch, and we hit it off at lunchtime, and it's been like true love ever since. So, you know, that's the way you build these things, and it's those meaningful conversations that, and she's now, I think, the number 4 affiliate that I have. So, you know, it pays off in money, too.
Yes. Yes. Well, thanks so much for sharing those stories, because, you know, we're here on Earth to connect with other people. I really believe that, and making it meaningful is good for everyone. It's good for you. It's good for that other person that you're going to do some type of a JV with. But it's also good for all the people that come to events, that get involved further because of it. So it's just a multiple win. All right, so stay focused. Keep your eyes on the prize. And you want to have a written plan for what you're doing. I work kind of quarterly. And so I like to write down what I'm doing. So right now, I'm really in the third and going into the fourth quarter of 2014 in my mind. So I'm writing things down. I want to know what I'm going to be doing. What are my goals? Who are the people I want to reach out to? What are the promotions that may be coming up? What kind of unique bonus could I have? What's something that I could partner with someone? And I like to spend time first thing in the morning taking action on what I've written at the end of the day. And I find this to be very, very helpful, so that I never, ever have one day, never, ever, or I say, gee, I've got some time, I wonder what I'm going to do today. No, 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 this is work, this is a job. Make it fun, but stay focused and know exactly what you're going to do and why you're going to do this, how this can possibly lead to the next thing, to the next thing, to the next thing, and then be open to all the serendipity that happens because of that. So you plan to go somewhere to meet someone, but then you meet some other people that you never even knew were going to be there, that kind of thing. And I think this is real important with all of this. All right, and you know, just start from where you are right now. Think about your next logical step. My mentor is still Armin Warren, and he talks about this. What's the next logical step in what you're going to do? And be willing to do the work. I don't know if anybody watches Mad Men. Are you a Mad Men fan, David?
I'm not. I've been tempted to get into that, but I have not done it yet.
I'll tell you what, the marketing lessons from Mad Men, if you can get past the horrible behavior of the characters, some of them are just despicable, but if you can really see those marketing lessons that are taken from true life events in the early 60s, which is just amazing. So I was a child, and you were even a younger child,
right.
I believe, David, or maybe about the same. Well, we're both 39 now.
That's
so
right.
Figure that.
I don't remember the 60s.
Yeah. But you know, the main character is Donald Draper, and he's fallen from grace more than once on the show. But he's just a masterful marketer it's the advertising world. They're on Madison Avenue. And this recent episode, they're in the current year, and he's being lazy. He doesn't feel like doing this. They're having him answer to someone. He's not used to doing that. And so he's just blowing it off and just not doing anything. And he has a drink with a fellow that fell from grace to the point that he really never recovered a few years earlier. And that fellow turns to him because he's saying, I don't want to go back to the office. They want me to do something. You know, he's supposed to be answering to a woman, which he just doesn't want to do. And this fellow, Freddie, says to him, he says, you know what, Don, be willing to do the work. They're giving you another opportunity at this. Do the work to achieve your goals. And I thought that is so powerful. So many of us have reasons. You don't want to do this. You don't want to deal with this person, all these things. Forget to do the work, and great things will happen. So I like to remind people of that. There I am. I think this cartoon looks exactly like me. I love to wear my skirt. I love purple. I have the 8 plates spinning. I see the plates spinning as a positive thing. Some people say, oh, no, you've got too many plates spinning. I say, oh, yes, I've got plates spinning. And those are all income streams. And that works very, very well. So do for a year what others won't. Then live the rest of your life the way others can't. Is an anonymous quote. It's been my life experience for years now, and I hope that you will take it under consideration.
Okay, so I don't think that's an anonymous quote anymore. I think that's a Connie Reagan Green quote, because I hear that from you every time you talk, and I love that. So it's become your tagline.
Yeah, and I have altered it so that, and I even have it on the back of my latest iPad.
Mm-hmm. So, Connie, would you flip back 2 slides to the start where you are? I want to go through that a little bit slower, because I think we have a lot of people here who are beginning to see some success and really want to get started and build better affiliate marketing income streams. And you know that's something I'm passionate about. So I think we need to go into that a little bit more deeply. Doesn't have to be done overnight. Talk about that.
Well, I think, you know, with all of us, that we take on something and we want to see those overnight results. And even though you may have some success in the beginning, really it's something you have to build. Like with me, you know, I jumped into the Amazon selling some physical products online, and it was a steep learning curve for me because I hadn't been doing that. And in the beginning, I found myself saying, you know, I don't understand. I want to make lots of money right away. And then I thought, you know, take your own advice, Connie. This doesn't have to be done overnight. And anybody that's a success, you know, I kind of joke, I'm an overnight success that took many, many, many years to happen. So give yourself that time and really go step by step through what you're being taught that works. Because when we teach something, we're teaching you based on our experience.
Mm-hmm.
So really believe that. and know that you can't cut any corners, you can't take shortcuts, you can't come up with your own shortcuts and tips and tricks and secrets until you've done it the long way. It's kind of like math. You know, like they teach long division. Well, later on, you'll be able to estimate and do all these great things. But in the beginning, you have to say, how many times does 4 go into 17?
Mm-hmm.
And so think of it that way and give yourself that time. Give yourself that gift of time to do it right so you can move up quickly later on.
Okay. And so when you talk about the next logical step, then are you evaluating every success, every failure, and figuring out what's next?
Yes. And, in the beginning, I never really shared failures. I didn't think people would be interested in them. Mm-hmm. But as I started having mentees, they wanted to hear what I would say. Oh, that didn't work. They wanted to hear more. Mm-hmm. It didn't work. Well, tell us more. And so anything that I do that doesn't work, then I deconstruct it. Okay, where did I go wrong? Right here I started, I did this, this was good, I did this. Right here, all of a sudden, everything went haywire. What did I do? And you usually can always see and you go, oh, I didn't even realize that would make everything fall apart. And so then you go backwards, slowly step back, and they say, okay, now how can I change that? How can I make a big change that will push me in the right direction? Because we're always course correcting, always. Because they say, you know, if a rocket ship's going to the moon or even a flight from Boston to Los Angeles, it's only on course, you know, a small percentage of the time. Other than that, it's all course correction. So I think of my next logical step as, you know, what can I do to always have that course correction possible? And then the minute that it doesn't work, what did I need to go back and fix?
So that's what I wanted you to talk about. That course correction thing is huge to me, because if you don't have your goals set up, you don't know where you're headed, right? And
yes.
If you don't know where you're headed, you can't correct your course. So the next one about setting up goals is, in my mind, absolutely essential to being able to know what your next logical step should be.
Yes, definitely. I have really wonderful neighbors in both Santa Barbara and Santa Clarita, and the ones in Santa Clarita tend to have more school-age children. And there are two families in particular that I spend time with, and they both happen to have 4 children. One family has great success. It seems like everyone knows what to do and where they're going, and they just have very little inner strife. It seems to just work so well. The other family, you never know what's going to happen. And the oldest child recently, they got up in the morning. They thought they had heard some noise during the night, and he had packed up and taken the car they had given to him. It was supposed to be for when he was at college, and he decided he wasn't going back to college. And he left a note. He said, I'm going to Kentucky to live with Grandma and Grandpa. I don't really feel like I want to be part of it here anymore. And, you know, they're both wonderful families, and I spend time with them and everything. But with one family, there's just no focus. And they're trying to do everything immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And they never step back to see what logical steps, you know, were missed. The other family, they seem to be on top of that. And I always think if each one were a business, the one would really be excelling. The other one may not be in business any longer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's really important to listen to, not only from our businesses, but from our lives in a lot of ways. You know, I was the first family that you're talking about. My kids were great kids, but we were an unfocused and splintered family because of divorcing when they were early, when they were young. And so, you know, that course correcting for the kids didn't happen all that well because we kept course correcting, but we were in different mindsets much of the time, and it wasn't consistent. And to me, if we're talking about building affiliate marketing that is going to get you 7 figures a year in affiliate marketing, you haven't really mentioned the consistency that you go through all of this with. And that to me is something that I watch you do, and it becomes so much part of what you do that it's pretty easy for you.
Yeah, because I really do love doing this work, and I do see it as a gift from God. And every day when my feet hit the floor, I say, thank you, God, that I can do this work, and especially because I have ongoing health issues. You and I were talking about a little bit before the call started, and being able to do things from home during times that work for me is really so wonderful to be able to do, such an opportunity. And the consistency means that every day I'm really thinking about the business, even if I'm on vacation, even if I'm on the other side of the world, even if I'm very, very ill, even if I'm, you know, like yesterday, I was in the emergency room yesterday for 4 hours, and that's okay. I'm thinking, and I always have a notepad. I'm making some notes, and then finally they let me go home, and here I am this morning, bright and early, to do everything. So that consistency, you want to do it all the time, because a lot of people are saying, oh, I can't wait to get away from the business. Oh, the weekend's coming. I can't wait. You don't have to do anything. I think that's the wrong attitude, because I always say, you know, would Bill Gates go on vacation and say, just please don't show me anything with technology. I don't want to see any electronic devices. Let's don't talk about it at all. I don't picture him feeling that way. I feel that it's become part of his DNA. Can you imagine, you know, whoever the top basketball player is in your mind? Like, I like Kobe Bryant, so that's what I'm going to think of. But can you imagine him saying, oh, it's so wonderful to be on vacation. I don't want to do anything related to sports. Don't show me a basketball. Don't even show me a surfboard or at the beach. I don't want to do anything. No sports. I don't think that's going to happen. They're consistent, at least with the thinking about it, whether they're actually physically doing it or not.
Right, and the thing that's really important here that I see you doing is that you have this goal every month that you are consistently attacking, right? I mean, you're always measuring. So talk about that and how that becomes part of achieving that goal. That goes back to the evaluate success and failure and the course correcting. But it seems to me that's really a driving factor for people of great success.
All right, so I'm always looking at the numbers, always, because you can only improve what you measure. And I learned that a number of years ago. And so in the beginning, my goal for each day was $330, as that was roughly $11,000 or so a month. That's what I needed to pay all my bills at the time and to make sure I had a little bit of spending money at the end. And so I let that become my goal. So then I changed that, and I started thinking more of $1,000 a day, because that's when I got involved with Dennis Becker with his Earn 1K a Day. And it's so funny. I'm so slow many times. I was in that group a few months, and then I realized, oh, he means earning $1,000 a day every day. Now I get it. I didn't get it. It's so funny. Yeah. I think I told him that. I think he probably thought I was kidding, but I really wasn't. And then I thought, yeah, that's a better goal. So then whatever your goal is, you want to have that written down. You want to be able to see it at your desk. So whiteboards are great. I love my whiteboards. I'm looking around. I have my whiteboards. I have my bookshelves. I have, you know, my immediate desk area. And so I want to know what goals I'm setting for myself. And then if I met the goal, that's good. If you meet the goal every day for a couple of weeks, I won't say a couple of days, but a couple of weeks, then probably that goal needs to be revised. If you're not hitting the goal, then take a look at that. Do you want to temporarily lower your daily or weekly or monthly goal? Or do you want to leave it the same and add some new strategies? Because if what you do will earn you X number of dollars, what else can you do? So think of it that way. I would prefer not to lower my goals. So I want to say, and maybe I have to learn something new. Maybe I have to buy a course and learn something. Maybe I need to go back into the NAMS area and review something that I thought I knew or that I said at the time, oh, I already know that. Maybe I need to review. Maybe I need to believe that all the people teaching have something valuable to teach me, and I need to learn from them regardless of who's been online longer, if they're male or female, where they live in the world, if they're younger or older than I am. None of that makes any difference. Be willing to learn from those people and do things accordingly then for your goals so that those numbers work for you.
Okay, so this is really getting pretty specific about what people need to do, and I love that. So if you don't mind, I'm going to take the screen back and show the mind map that I have here. Just one moment. I'm clicking the wrong thing. And we have a bunch of questions too, which is really good. So, okay, show my screen. Here's my mind map. And as you can see, I have been taking notes the entire time for our folks. And this will become a checklist, an HTML checklist and a mind map checklist that people have. So I've captured a lot of what you've said. We started with the strategies. We first went into how you got, why you got into this world. Then we talked about the three strategies, and we talked about all of these implementation. I'm calling them implementation strategies that you're doing here as well. All the way down into the numbers. So we're going to get deeper into this stuff.
Beautiful.
As well.
I love this. Okay. Do we get a copy of this?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. This is, by the way, you may not know this, but this is the structure of every micro workshop that we do every month. We start with our six steps. And you've heard me talk about that. I think I presented to your people about six steps one time.
Yes.
Which was dream, prototype.
Yes, in March of 2011.
Yep. Dream, prototype, test, execute, feedback, and improve. Those are the things that we really jump into. So we're going to talk about test here in a minute. We have the strategies, the prototype, and we have the execute of the implementation. And now I want to get into some of the questions we had here. Wendy says, "Wow, I'm watching Mad Men this weekend. Never even thought of the insight there. Great point." Pat says, "Are there going to be some more nuts and bolts here that you're talking about?" Now, I'm sure that she's thinking, and I'm just putting words into her head here, that she's thinking that we're talking about mindset stuff. And we are talking a lot about mindset stuff. But when you're doing affiliate marketing stuff, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, if you're not doing these things first, you're shooting in the dark.
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
Definitely, because I think, you know, people, they want to get right to doing the thing, but you've got to be thinking correctly or the thing won't matter.
Yeah. Now, the nuts and bolts to me is in whatever you're doing is in the last couple of things that we talked about, particularly the always looking at the numbers and the consistency of what you're doing. So if we look back at the strategies that we talked about, you gave us three big strategies: teaching someone else's program, creating a unique bonus, and joint venturing with other affiliates. Can you give examples, go into some examples of what you're doing and what kind of and I don't really, you know, you can say five figures, six figures, whatever it is, four figures, how some of these things have worked for you. Can you think of any of these things off the top of your head and how those actually improved your bottom line and how you're building passive income? That's a long question through these things.
Well, like strategy one, I'm not doing that currently because I use that kind of as a springboard for what I'm doing now, which, you know, I have my own program.
So this one is a great getting started strategy is what you're saying.
It's really great for getting started, and, you know, I did it for a couple of years, so you can decide, you know, go in, explore through NAMS, and take a look at what you could do maybe for 6 weeks, and offer it to your list, offer it to social media, bring people in, because once you're in that teacher position, then they see you differently.
Yep. Okay, so
you know, the perception is different.
Then let's talk about NAMS and how this strategy works with NAMS, because I think this is a great opportunity for everybody that's on this call and everybody that's listening to us in the future on this, because NAMS is set up as a university, and it's a marketing online business university. It's the 100 through 400 track. And I think it starts with me. Tell me if I'm wrong, but I think it starts with me, where I actually create an incubator group. If you're interested in teaching NAMS to people and driving more folks into the system so that you make an income from NAMS, join the incubator group, and we're going to walk through how you do this. Think that's a good idea?
That would be perfect if you could give some guidance. So, you know, back to the school model that I was in for 20 years, you would be like in administration. Mm-hmm. And the people coming to you would be the instructors. And if you could give them some guidance, if you could give them three different examples of how they could teach.
Yep.
So they could either go through, because maybe, you know, because in the beginning when I was learning, I would have said, I'm going to teach NAMS 100 for 6 weeks.
Right.
because then during that time, I'm going to learn the NAMS 100 stuff. And then, for anybody in my group that's still interested, because remember, everybody's still paying you, you're still getting that affiliate commission, then say, okay, now, for those of you who want to go on, let's do NAMS 200.
Yep.
And let's do that for, you know, a six-week period. So then you can decide how you're going to do it. And also, during that time, I mean, there's so many possibilities. You could go to instructors that are in the NAMS 100, so just if we're in the very beginning, and you could go to those instructors and say, you know, I'm teaching NAMS 100 right now. I'm explain a little bit what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And then say, I'd love to have you as a guest on one of my webinars or teleseminars, however you're doing it, or Hangouts. And that person is going to be excited. They're going to want to do it. And then during that time, you promote one of their products as an affiliate, so then you bring in more income because of that. Then you've built a relationship because you're going to have a meaningful conversation with that person to begin with, and you're going to say, you know, I'd love when I have you as my guest, I'd love to promote something of yours. What do you have that would be good for this beginning group of people? And then in the future, they're going to think of you. Maybe they're going to have you as a guest on their podcast series. Maybe they'll ask you to write a guest blog post. There's so many possibilities with that. Plus, with the people that come in under you, take a look and see, because we don't want to assume that when we build a list that all of these people know next to nothing and they've come to us for guidance. That's not the case. There are people on my list that have more years of business experience than I ever would have myself. They're always going to be ahead of me. And people that have done really great things in other careers. And so maybe I have someone who's an expert in leadership or something, and then I connect with them further in this group. So then maybe I'm reaching out to them and saying, gee, I didn't even realize you were in my group, and look what you're doing. I'd love to interview you for the podcast. I'd love to have you do a guest post, something like that. You never know where this can all go.
Well, and see, that's one of the things I love about the group that we have is that I would say fully a third, maybe a little less, but I'd say fully a third of the weekly live trainings that we do are people who started as students with us. And
yes.
And they are, first off, they're somebody that's on my list, and maybe they really weren't a student. They are somebody who should have been a teacher to begin with. But second, there are people who learn over the period of time and become so expert at what they're doing. We just had Carol Bremner on, who's teaching about Paperly and how to monetize Paperly. And, you know, she did a great job. And she started as a student at NAMS 2, and she's been coming ever since. So, you know, that works out great.
Yes, when she was at Kelly's event in Toronto, so I was able to spend more time with her than I had in the past, and her daughters were there.
Yeah, yeah.
So now, you know, we all sat down and had dinner one night, and so now I know her and her family. And, I mean, if I want to connect with her, I mean, literally, I've spent time with her two babies, her human babies.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
You know, and found out we all have so much in common, as people tend to always do.
So,
you know, so the possibilities are endless with this.
So I'm sticking with the NAMS Incubator Group. And what I want to point out here to anybody who is listening is the monetization opportunities here. So let's talk about ways of monetizing this. First thing that you've got, if you decide to do this with this or any other, and I'm not just doing this about NAMS, because I know NAMS, we're going to talk about NAMS, but you could do it with Dennis Becker's, you could do it with anything that Jason Fladlin and Will Matos are teaching, anything that anybody else has a course on, you can do this with them as well. But when you're talking about monetization for this, for us particularly, you would have a couple of different ways of making additional money that you would never have thought about. So you get affiliate commissions, right, from NAMS. And if you have it structured, as you were saying up here, 6 weeks, 6 weeks, 6 weeks, 6 weeks, that's half a year, basically, of affiliate commissions that you're kind of locking in, taking people through the modules and the courses, right? So that's affiliate commissions from NAMS. Once you have that in place, then you have affiliate commissions from product sales. Then you have, if you bring the instructor in, or you decide to promote instructors that you meet through this, they don't have to come on, but you can still promote them.
Right.
Affiliate commissions. Right? How else can you make money from doing this process?
What I would do personally with this is anybody that stayed with me during the 6 weeks for NAMS 100 training and the 6 weeks for NAMS 200 training, so this is 3 months now, I would invite them to do coaching or mentoring with me away from NAMS. Because this is your business. So NAMS is the big playground in this example that I always use. Finally, you're going to invite a select group to leave the playground to come to your house and play in your backyard where you own the basketball and the basketball hoop, and you decide which snacks you're going to serve at the break.
And guess what? The you get fees from that. So that's additional monetization for you. And the instructors who do this through NAMS, by the way, actually pay me back a referral, usually, for any coaching or anything that comes from those people who go through there. So it's money that goes both ways,
yes.
You know, and it's really a great system for everybody. You know, the thing that we don't talk about very much, and I really believe in, is that spending money is really good. Because it is the flow of energy and the flow of cash. So you got to have cash going out so you can get cash coming in. And I really believe in that.
Yes, because I didn't understand that all those years I was teaching. And like when I had my injury, I was afraid to spend a penny. I didn't even get my hair colored because I didn't want to spend $25 that month. And I ended up looking like a homeless person, or in my mind, that's what I looked like. And finally, I learned that. It took me so many years of my life to learn that loosen up a little bit. When things aren't going well, get a little money out into the universe.
Right.
That's always a good thing. Okay, another thing from this is I would put a book together, and I would invite the people, you know, in those six-week trainings, I would invite them to submit a chapter for the book, and you can have any kind of theme. I love these compilation books and do a couple of them every year now. And just invite people to write a chapter. Because you don't need that many chapters. I like a book to be about 100, 120 pages.
Mm-hmm.
And also now, I like to turn them into paperback more than ever. I've always loved paperback books, but I think it's important to do it that way. And I would invite them to come in and do that, and so then you'll have revenue from that. And it really, you know, adds to everybody's credibility. Right within the book, you're going to invite people to come back to your site. Because when you put a book together, then you get to write the introduction, you get to write a chapter and put it wherever you want to put it. I always put my chapter at the end of the book. So I have something at the beginning and something at the end. So
okay.
That's another way to earn income.
And relationships.
What about something you're building those relationships. That's huge. What about something that you had talked about, David, and I don't know really where it has gone. What about putting together a live event based on NAMS with people from NAMS and who have no clue what NAMS even means in your city?
Yeah, regionals. We talked about doing regionals. And and one of the things that – one of the reasons that we're doing – going to one a year NAMS, the reason we're going to one – annual NAMS is so that we can actually start focusing on doing more regionals. And the regionals be one-day events. And I'm really excited about doing that. We're going to start with the Southeast and branch out. And, you know, I can see myself having my little traveling suitcase and traveling projector that I would go in for a day and find a local instructor who would like to join me for the day. And we just do a one-day deal and a one-room deal. As a regional, that would be a feeder system for our main event.
Yes.
And once we do that, once we set it up in those locations, the idea that I had for this, and it's a great way to build more traffic and more feeder, is for somebody in that location. For example, if I go to your location, you know, you or somebody you would designate would be like the local host, so that it would continue going on once a month, be like a meetup.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah, I'd love to do it in Santa Clarita. Will Matos, you know, lives about 7 miles from me. He would come, as would about 50 to 75 people that are in some local meetups here.
We can get that on the schedule as we get off the phone today.
Perfect. Perfect. I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm ready. See, Santa Barbara, it works for my retreats, but it, you know, so location is important with this.
Mm-hmm.
But Santa Barbara is not for everybody. It's much harder to get there. Mm-hmm. And so I have people that come for retreats a few times a year. But for this type of one-day event, you wanted it a place that's a little bit more accessible.
Yep. Okay, and those one-day events, the person where this is, again, more monetization. The reason it's under monetization is this is, again, more affiliate commission for the person who is training, doing these incubator training things. So remember, what we're talking about is somebody who's in this incubator group who actually branches out with almost like having their own business. It's almost like a franchise.
Yes, yes, like a licensing deal, something like that. Another thing, you could put together your own products and courses and everything, and I would joint venture with either some of the instructors, some of the students, combination, put something together that then everybody owns. And that, I would think of it more as a home study course, mm-hmm. so something that everybody puts mm-hmm. together. You come together to put it together, and then you sell it online, and you can do it. Ownership can take various formats. It's easy enough to let each person sell it on their own. You can do it that way.
So let's talk about that a second, because I can think of two people in your group that you're doing that with now, maybe three, that you and Jeff Hoff started with you as a student, and Jeff and you have a publishing company together.
Right, we have the publishing company. We've co-authored two books.
Yep. And
that works very well.
And so that's additional revenue for both of you, and it's
right,
through training that you've done. So it's really like creating clones of yourself in some way.
Yes, yes. And then I have the 10K laser coaching that I started with Helen Raptopoulos mm-hmm. back in 2010. Then I worked with Jeff on that, mm-hmm. and now I work with Adrian Dupree.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so whoever I'm working with at the time with that becomes my joint venture partner on it. So any sales that are made during that time, they get 50% of, which works out nicely for them, and they grow their business in the process. What's amazing with Adrian is that now I read her emails to see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I learn things that are being promoted from reading her. I'm going, oh, I didn't realize that. Oh, looky there. I love that.
Okay, so now I'm going to close this, because I want to come back to this as I see some people on here who would have different types of businesses. So I see Wendy's on here, and Wendy has a retirement business. So, you know, Wendy could actually start doing this in the NAMS Incubator Group, but if she had her own course that was retirement living, how to improve your, you know, that's a huge market and a growing market. So there could be a lot of different niches in that market.
Does Wendy have a real estate license?
She does, actually.
Oh. Well, then, Wendy, you can make big money. Because I do some corporate work. I do some corporate training. And, you know, a thing I did last year that was so fabulous is one of the corporations I was really involved with, they needed to relocate, and I got a piece of that action. Mm. And that's nice, but retirement in general just lends itself to real estate. And as long as you're licensed, then you can share commission.
So I want to take this back to you, because you're Connie Reagan Green starting out, right? Now you come into somebody else's program, and what you've done is the next logical step, by evaluating and doing all of the stuff that you've talked about down here with your goals out in front of you. And you know, you started where you were, took the next logical steps, set your goals, and the next logical steps would lead you through this entire process where you have $1,000 a day, then $10,000 a day. You know, I mean, this is the exact step that you seem to have used to get started.
Yes, because, you know, another one of my mottos is to keep everything simple. Mm-hmm. Because if it gets too convoluted, I really don't understand it. And by keeping it simple and just focusing on the important parts of the business, then you can grow the business exponentially.
So when we're talking about advanced affiliate marketing and people are thinking, oh, I'm going to hear these tips and tricks that nobody else is telling us, what we're talking about is doing the tips and tricks are really consistency and knowing where you're going and making sure that you build on top of that.
Yes, and whatever stories are coming up in your mind that it wouldn't work for me because, or I can't do this until,
yep.
Just throw that out the window, because we can do anything, anytime.
Right.
We have to, you know, our mothers told us, oh, you know, you can do anything you want in life, and we, for me anyway, I thought, well, I guess moms are, they have to tell you that. It's a rule, it's a mom rule. And then it turns out, no, it really is true. We can achieve anything we want to achieve, but you have to convince yourself that you can do it, and then get out there and be willing to skin your knees.
Yeah. So I want to go back to the keep your eyes on the prize for a minute, because you've got a written plan. You spend time at the end of the day and the first thing in the morning going over what you've done that day and seeing what you're going to do the next day. You don't want to be too rigid, because you want serendipity to play a piece of this, and you want to look at the next for the next promotion. One thing, though, that I didn't put in here, and you didn't say this, but I have a feeling, knowing you, that every promotion builds on the next promotion. That it shouldn't, well, maybe that's every is too definitive, but I would think that you're always looking for promotions and opportunities that build so that you have more passive income in play.
Yes, you always, and I'm really looking for the people that are consistent.
Okay.
You know, I need really strong people that are out there creating products and courses and programs.
Okay.
So I know that they will have something in the future, because someone just wrote to me and he said, you know, there's so many people are sending me emails on this. I said, yeah, but, you know, how many things are they actually doing mm-hmm. each year? What are people doing? Sometimes the person is going to do one promotion and then they may not ever do anything else.
One of the things that I just did was go through my entire list. I've been cleaning house for the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks, organizing, cleaning house, and making some big changes. And one of the things I did was go through my entire list and unsubscribed from people who are not creators, but who are regurgitators. People who send me a new promotion every day. You know, I don't necessarily want to know about all the new promotions every day. But I do want to know about what people are doing that's innovative. And those are the people I like to stay focused on.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, and so that, you know, that needs to become all of us. What is it we're doing? Like, I do something every spring. I just completed it the other day. I do a 30-day productivity challenge. And I started out as a blog post.
Mm-hmm.
And then I add to that post before I go to bed every night for 30 days.
Okay, so when you take on something like this, why are you doing that?
I'm doing it to be a creator, like what you're saying. I think it's innovative. This time, what's interesting is it got the attention of Darren Rouse from ProBlogger.
Nice.
So he might mention it, you know, in a future post that he's doing, and that's real interesting. Yeah, that can be powerful. But I do it because it's kind of a mini product, and it's free, but it's filled with links to my things and affiliate things. I then, at the end, so I have to do this today or tomorrow, I copy-paste the entire post, because the post is over 6,000 words. Mm-hmm. I copy-paste that into a Word document and PDF it, so then it becomes a little guide that people can have. And it just becomes very, very valuable. It increases my credibility and visibility, and it's very, very profitable. People get to know me in a different way. Because I'm not just writing a blog post about being productive. I'm saying, this is something we do. And I've done it 4 years in a row now.
So, do we have a link that we can see that on?
Yeah, if you go to onlineproductivitychallenge.com, because that's another thing I do that I don't teach too often. Let's see if that's the right. onlineproductivitychallenge.com. So I buy a domain each time.
There you are.
And I then forward that domain to this post. So this post is on ConnieReaganGreen.com.
Sure.
And right now, it's still a long post. I'll go in and break it today or tomorrow. I'll break it like at day 15 and do a continue reading.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, it's really huge.
So it looks like you're at the same time creating a book, maybe a book outline, or maybe a report or something. You got 6,000 words already, right? So
Right, and I've done this four times, so I could start from the very beginning, mm-hmm. the first productivity challenge, and I could say this is how the productivity challenge has grown, you know, since 2011, 11, 12, 13, 14, since I've done it.
And so this is not that hard, and it's not that much writing. It is day 21. That's two paragraphs.
Yep.
And you've got links to additional. Well, this is an affiliate link because it says connieloves.me/HPAM.
Right. Okay. So now, right. So this is a link to my, let me see.
Amazon.
All right, so that's a link to a book. Then I also have a link to another post that I wrote on my five-pronged approach.
Yep, I saw that one
so
up
that
here.
People are right. getting to see that I'm not just a pretty face. I also have written other valuable posts.
Uh-huh.
So I have, and with that post, I went in because I had written that for 2013, and I thought, well, this is good. I don't need to update it again. So I just changed that post title to All New for 2014.
Huh. And look
that's
there.
That's good for your SEO because it connects everything.
So you've also got links in here, your published books. You've got Earn 1K a Day. You got NAMS. And you got your course for affiliate marketing. So, you know, these are ways to be making money and linking back to additional sales opportunities, basically, for you. So you have additional stuff coming. Now, you did something last year along the same lines, but it was a year-long project, and it was 52, or was it 50, podcast.
Yes, I did that 2012. I committed to doing 50 podcast, or I did 52. I interviewed 50 people, and I did one around the 4th of July and at the end of the year for New Year's. And it was a lot of work, and it put me out of my comfort zone. I had to reach out to people on a regular basis, and sometimes I didn't want to do it. I didn't feel like doing it, and not feeling like doing something is never a reason not to do it.
Uh-huh.
And I did, and each time I did, I was so glad that I did. And for the following year, for 2013, I said that I would do it, I would do half as many, I would do 25, and so I've continued to do it, and I started a second podcast.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So I have two different podcasts that are going, and that's why I have the two blogs, the Huge Profits Tiny List and the Connie Reagan Green. Each of them host one of the podcasts.
And so one of the reasons for doing the podcast and for doing the 30-day blog or the 30-day productivity, it's not a blog challenge, it's a productivity challenge.
I started the blog challenges way back.
Mm-hmm.
People don't know that about me, but I started them, and I let them go because at the end of the day, people had written 30 posts. They hadn't turned it into products. They hadn't monetized it. And I thought, well, then I don't see the value in it as much. Let's change the productivity.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. So your focus on the productivity challenge that you're doing is all about monetization, and that's a goal that you have set, right?
Yes.
So you've got your podcast, which is a goal that you've set. You didn't do podcasts because you wanted to hear your voice out there.
No.
And the goal from your podcast was specific, and I think that you had a destination from the beginning. And you tell us what kind of course corrections you made in the podcast, if you made any, so that you could reach that goal, other than just having 50.
In the very beginning, I was thinking of a podcast as an hour-long call.
Right.
And immediately, I course corrected and said, you know what, people don't want to listen that long. Let's cap them out at 30 minutes. So somewhere between 20 to 30 minutes. And boy, a lot of people have followed suit now. It's very interesting.
Right.
A lot of people were doing an hour because we really can get great information out. Plus, it enabled me to attract better people. I just interviewed, my most recent one is Linda Weinman from Linda.com.
Oh, wow. I love Linda.com.
I know her from Santa Barbara now, yeah. And I've known her from the beginning, and she was so wonderful. But I know part of what made her say yes quickly was I said, I limit it to 30 minutes. It'll probably be closer to 20. You know, are you open to doing it? And yes, people don't want to say an hour because by the time they get on and get off and there's small talk, that can be an hour and a half. That's a big chunk out of their day. But if it's 20 to 30 minutes, they can be off in a half hour. They're more excited. More excited about doing that. So that goes over to iTunes, and you put in your keywords for that because people are searching on iTunes for information. And maybe somebody's searching for something about Linda. They want more information about her, and they come upon my podcast with her.
Sure.
And that's good for both of us.
Yeah, so tell us how that's good for you. When you were doing these podcasts, how is it being monetized?
It's monetized because within each – well, one thing that I do I haven't really talked about is for every podcast, I'm doing a blog post. That's how I connect it to PodPress, which is the free plugin that I host the podcast on. So I write a blog post, and I try to make them about 300 words or so. And basically, it's just a synopsis of, you know, a summary of what I talked about with the person. And I'm linking to something with them. So a book, a product, something that they have. That's always my goal with it. And if there's somebody that really doesn't have anything, but they mention a book that inspired them, so you can reach and you can be creative, I will, you know, connect to that. So that's part of that monetization.
And when you, I mean, at the least, you're going to have a link back to Amazon.
At the least.
Yeah. Yep. Cool. So would you say that everything that you do is about monetization in some way?
I would say that it is. And I know that when people come to me and want to work with me, in the beginning, I didn't make this kind of a criteria, but now, if they come to me, I want to know, are they interested in earning money? Will earning money be important to what they're doing? Because if they're just doing it kind of for fun, then I'm not a good fit for them. You know, I want people that need to earn money, want to earn money, and love that idea of making money, because my feeling is, because now I know, especially in Santa Barbara, I know a lot of people that they really don't need to make any more money, but they still like to because they like giving it away. We love giving money to charity. So it's fun to make another X number of dollars so you can give away a lot of that.
So there's going to be a lot of people who say, oh, man, that's all about money. I don't want to do money all the time. Oh, my. But then you look at other folks, and it's what you just said, that money gives you the energy to be able to do the things that you really want to do. So it is, money is your tool that you're using.
Money's the tool because basically at this point, I work in the mornings. So I'm usually writing from writing and writing emails, you know, doing my own writing, creating. I'm doing everything from about 7 to about 10 in the morning.
Okay.
And then I'm gone for the day. I'm out kind of just living my life, which is pretty much based around charities. There really are very few friends that I have or very few activities that I do that aren't related somehow to a charity, even with family. When the grandsons are here, then we go over, we have 2 food pantries in Santa Clarita. We go over and just bag groceries or fix their shelves for them. And it's kind of mindless work that helps people that we don't even know.
Okay, so I'm gonna throw a curveball at you here. We've got a couple of people on here that you know as well from your travels and from our events. Abby, by the way, is here, and Abby says, "Love Connie, she's the bomb. I want to be just like her when I grow up."
And I want to be just like Abby. Abby rocks.
That's right. Abby rocks. So Abby is into cigars. I know this about Abby. Abby's going to come to you and he's going to say, Connie, I want you to promote this affiliate product that I have about cigar business and how to create a course on how to build a business around cigars. What would you say to him about this whole process and how he could really make it beneficial for you to promote as a super?
All right, well, here, I'll take a sideline. Last night I was at the country club for something called Zonta, ZONTA.org. It's a women's business group, and we had our installation and gave away a lot of money. It was wonderful. And at the country club, my memory of that country club, I haven't been there for a couple of years, was in my Rotary Club had cigar night, and I showed up, and they were shocked. A woman, and they didn't know what to do, and somebody said, give her a cigar.
Right.
They gave me a cigar. So I actually had it in my mouth, and it was lit, and it didn't last very long, but I was part of that. So I love cigars. I love the idea of cigars, I guess I'll say. What I would say is Can you use another example or two so we can talk about niche sites? Make it a little bit more general, and then my audience is definitely interested. If it's only about cigars, because the way I describe it is, you know, most of my list needs to lose a few pounds and loves dogs. It doesn't mean they want to hear about either of those things from me, because they didn't come to me
right
for that. So I'll say that many people on my list have some type of affection or experience with cigars, but they don't, not from me. So if we can make it more general, then it's a better sell.
Okay, so what makes me... Say it again. If we can make it more general, is that what you said?
Yes, if you can make that topic, instead of cigars, if you can be, you know, just generalize it more to different topics that are niche topics.
Such as?
Then that, such as horsemanship. That's a good one. Food. Food would be good with cigars. Wine would be good with cigars. I saw people horseback riding last night, and I have a client that has a site on horsemanship.
Abby suggests women with cigars. Women cigar
smokers.
Women
with cigars. No, but I think that's too small to make that your main focus. Let that be part of the discussion.
Okay.
It's like I have a site that's on fly fishing for women. But that's just a segment of the fly fishers.
But fly fishing is huge.
It's huge.
It's like women make up the biggest, people don't know this, but women are the fastest growing segment of Harley Davidson riders.
Oh, yes. So. Yes. That's big. Yeah, with the fly fishing, I even met on Twitter the fly fishing rabbi. That was pretty interesting. He had a presence online. I thought, okay, I'm going to connect with him.
So you're saying instead of making your niche site smaller when you have something that specific, you would make it larger, more general, so that you fit within that overall niche?
Yes, because you want to sell to many, even though people want to see themselves within it. So the person that, you know, really loves cigars and they, you know, have the magazine and they have a whatever that humidifier thing is
right
for it, and they go to cigar shops. I've been with Pat O'Brien and Joe Vitale in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
I've been with them to a place where they went in the back room and, you know, picked cigars, and they looked at me and bought me a cigar.
Right.
So I was part of it. I was part of it. So people want to see themselves there, but you want to allow lots of people that opportunity.
Okay. And to tie what he's specifically interested in the cigars, would he have to do more about the food world as well? Or would he, how would he relate that to the larger market? That's what I'm asking.
Well, what is the product?
What is the product? Abby, can you tell us more about your cigar site and what your cigar site does specifically? Maybe you've got a link in here. I think you had a cigar site, or is this something you wanted to get into?
Because it sounds like my people with horsemanship, it sounds like, you know, definitely a membership site where people would pay by the month, except with that market, immediately offer them an annual. They're going to prefer to pay by the year. I know with me, I don't like it if I have to pay by the month for things anymore. I pay by the year.
Yeah, so...
And, you know, what can they learn from you that isn't in that, what is it, Cigar Aficionado magazine?
Uh-huh.
And there may be other magazines. What insight do you have that's special? And it can't be how you can get Cuban cigars legally. That won't be enough.
Yeah, so here's Abby's site, Panama City, City Cigars, high-quality cigars, and never pay retail again. So we have humidors, accessories, cigars, the different types of cigars. Everything on the site, though, is pointing toward lifestyle. This is an e-commerce store for cigars. It looks like a place to get cigars. So it would seem to me that this is really the store part of a larger site, what could be a larger site, which is a lifestyle
site.
Right,
because I would have a larger site. I would have this page just be linked to from a larger site, but I would have a larger site that's more general, not just Panama City.
Right.
And where is that, Panama City, Florida?
Probably. That's where he's from.
Panama.
That's where he was from, right, Panama City, Florida. Yep.
Okay. So that's a great city. It has a lot of history.
Yep.
I would have a bigger site that's again a little bit more general, and then at /members is where I would have the membership site to get people in, because you want people that will share it with their buddies. So, you know, last night when I saw 6-7 men sitting around one of the fire pits having their cigars at the country club, you know, one of them is likely to say, you know, I joined this great site, it's $100 a year, and boy, you get some great information, and you can buy some cigars through them, they'll ship them right to you, and they'll share it. And then they'll say, oh, what's the link? And you want them to be able to remember it quickly.
Mm-hmm. And the reason you want membership and, also is because of recurring, right?
Recurring income, yes.
As an affiliate. So,
yes.
So what we're talking about with Abby's is that Abby has a, says he's working on a VIP part link as a membership part of his site. You know, I buy my coffee, by the way, from Green Mountain Coffee, and it's because I want Tully's coffee out of the Northwest, and I have it shipped to the house. So it's shipped every 5 weeks, 5 pounds of coffee to my house. Who would have thought that, you know, I would have had my coffee shipped to my house a few years ago?
Yeah.
This kind of and I'm doing it because I love the coffee, but it's also it's a lifestyle thing. I'm paying premium for this coffee, and I'm paying for the shipping and the whole deal on that. But they've emphasized the lifestyle on their websites too, and that's what you got to do, is you got to sell the lifestyle here. So
okay, now this is what I would love, David. I'm gonna cut you off. Good. I've been pretty good about not cutting you off, but I'm gonna do it now.
Do it.
Because that's who I am. I cut people off sometimes when I get excited about something. I can picture, what is it, Green Mountain Coffee or Tully's?
Green Mountain Coffee.
Green Mountain Coffee. I can picture them as a sponsor for NAMMS in August. They don't have to go. You can represent them. You can set up a little table. Maybe they want to send somebody, but maybe they can't, because if they're in the Northwest, might be too far, might not be enough notice. And they could pay you for that sponsorship in kind, which means maybe you get 10 weeks of coffee or something from
or
them.
Or a Keurig.
But that way, you're telling them that you love their baby. You love their baby. It's just adorable. Uh-huh. Tastes delicious. And you're telling people now on a webinar around the world about it. That's very powerful. And you'd love for them to be a sponsor at your event that you host and have hosted for 5 years, however many years.
That's a really good idea. Thank you for cutting me off.
And they're going to all look at each other and go, wow, he loves our coffee so much. He's been telling people around the world about it, and he wants us to be a sponsor. How cool is that? And then somehow you make a deal with them, and then, you know, and then maybe you serve it one or two mornings or something there, because they're going to send you a bunch of coffee and send you a banner or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, that could be a real exciting relationship. Mm-hmm. And then that would be a different relationship than you have with them right now, is my guess. Mm-hmm.
Would be. Absolutely. That's a great idea. So we're talking about this, by the way, because it's a great way for making affiliate income. And Abby's doing this with his cigars, right? So that's my point about this, right, is actually being able to come back to this as a lifestyle kind of thing. For people who smoke cigars are passionate about smoking cigars. And you said horsemanship earlier, right? And I thought, well, how does horsemanship fit in with cigar thing? I do know that I went on a fox hunt one time, the only time I've ever done this, and it was the scariest thing I've ever done in my life. And I rode a horse during this fox hunt, and at the end of it, everybody kicked back and had good wine and cigars. And that was the deal. So,
and if there were women, then it could be women on horseback smoking cigars. You know what I'd love to see in August? I'd love to see next to the Tully's Green Mountain Coffee Table, I'd love to see Panama City Cigars.
There you go.
There, as a sponsor. And one of the nights, you know, the karaoke night or something like that, there could be cigar night, because we used to do that with Joe Vitale and Pat O'Brien. Mm-hmm. And they used to do that, because you said you went to one of those seminars. Did you remember?
Yeah, I did. I went to the very first one. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. And did they go out and have cigars?
Did. Absolutely. That was all that Pat O'Brien and Joe Vitale and Bill Hibbler and Craig Perrine lived for, was cigar night. Yeah.
Okay, so then there could be people coming to NAMM saying it's going to be so much fun. We're having cigar night out by the fire pit on Saturday night.
That's right.
Something like that. I think that would be real special. And you could have little half-page flyers or full-page flyers that you give people telling them about your site and about how they can become a charter member of the membership site.
So, Abby, we're thinking this through for you on how to turn this into a lifestyle site that sells cigars. Does that make sense? And the reason we're talking about this is because this is what a super affiliate is looking for. They're looking for people. If you want somebody to promote your product, you want a super affiliate who is going to come to you and say yes or no based on the criteria that you understand. You don't want the criteria to be a secret. Right? And getting no with no explanation is an awful thing.
Yeah, because it doesn't allow you to course correct.
That's right. And it's all about the course correction. So I'm going to add in here the lifestyle site. And if we're testing for products that you want to promote to be able to make that seven figures that we talk about, what are some of the criteria that you're going to be testing for?
I want the product, I want the people behind it really to be proven, whether they've proved themselves with me or with people in my circle mm-hmm. of influence. So that's important. A lot of times, especially if it's something expensive, I don't buy it the first time. I know it's going to come out again in 6 months or so. Mm-hmm. So I wait. I want to see what happened during that first period of time. I'm looking for things that just look and feel real, real professional, because I know things that there are certain courses that I've paid just say $100 for, and other things I've paid $4,000 for, and this is in the last couple of years. And sometimes the person with the $100 course, mm-hmm. they could have made it at least a $1,000 course mm-hmm. if they had made it look and feel more professional. Mm-hmm. You know, and you don't realize that until you're in the middle of it and seeing it, and you're going, boy, this person really has some great things. If they would have just put it together differently, it would have been a different product. Mm-hmm.
So that's a higher value is what you're looking for.
Yes.
Okay. What else? Any kind of technical issues that you're looking for? Any kind of lifetime cookies? Any kind of ongoing relationship? Number of products? Those kind of things. You don't promote everybody in the world, or you would have a gazillion people, right?
Right. Right. Yeah. No. I'm more choosy than ever these days. You know, I don't know that lifetime cookies really are a high criteria for me.
Okay.
I mean, it's nice if you get that, but it's not everything with that. I think it really has to be more about, you know, what that product is, who the people are, because my people on my list, my students, I consider all of them my students. If someone's on my list, they're my student. Those people are my babies, and I don't want to turn my babies over to somebody that won't be good to them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So really, that's important that's an important thing right there, because you want to make sure that you protect your audience.
Yes. And many times when I'm dealing with somebody for the first time, I have a different name that I buy through and a different credit card and PayPal account and all that, and I very quickly put in a support ticket. And I want to see how I'm treated. Not how they would treat Connie Reagan Green, because that might not be indicative of the average. They might recognize my name for whatever reason. But I want to know, how do they treat just the average person that has a simple question, can't figure something out, can't find something? What do they have to say about that?
Okay.
And I've done that many times.
And what that tells
usually
you is...
it's always fine. Yeah, that tells me, you know, how they care about the people that are buying. Are they just looking at those sales, or if they say, oh, wait, we have to stop. Here's somebody who bought that needs help. We need to jump in right there. Can't sell more stuff until we answer this person's question and see if it's something we need to fix.
Right. Okay. Victoria says, what about split testing? Do you do those kind of things? Are there technical aspects that you get into to figure out what's making you more money or not?
I don't. I do that in a very simplistic way. So I've never looked at open rates for my emails, for example, because I think they're not accurate.
Okay.
I think that if I click on one email to read it and then put it in a folder or delete it and then my email rolls over to the next email, maybe I intended on opening it, maybe I didn't. Mm-hmm. So I don't pay attention to that. I know how many people have clicked if I'm using my redirect with PrettyLink. I know how many buy, because I see the sales. I know how many respond to me. I know how many unsubscribe. So I know those things. With certain affiliate programs, you can see more than with others. With a member, I can see how many clicks. But I don't base it so much on that, because so much of what we do is really feeling and perception and, you know, connections and relationships. And, you know, I mean, I know I can be very persuasive at this point in my life, and I have to use that responsibly. I can't just talk people into buying something just because. It's not a good idea.
That is a great line. I mean, I have to use your, right? You have to use your persuasiveness responsibly. I love that.
You really have to.
Yeah.
You really have to.
So that kind of fits in the, and up here where you're protecting your audience. Because you don't want to send people down the wrong path. I actually had to refund an entire sales thing I did about, it was one of my earliest lessons, about 2006. When I was in an affiliate contest for something we created on the fly, and I was number 3 in sales, and when it went out, it was so bad that I had made like 60 sales or something at $7 each on this thing, and I refunded everybody and sent them a note and said, I am so sorry. But, you know, that got me a lot of traction with a lot of folks because I did that.
Yes. Yes, because people know, you know, if they're on my list, they know they can write to me and tell me what they're doing right then. Just give me like a paragraph. Where are you right now? And then I'll tell you if what I'm promoting, if that's, or what I have my own thing to offer, if that's good. You know, should they come to my event in Vegas? Should they come to my retreat in Santa Barbara? Maybe. Not, the answer is not always
sure.
Yes.
Sure. Okay, so Connie, you've been incredibly generous with your time. And you have told us a lot of stuff today. Are there other things that you want to go into? I mean, we talked a lot about the getting started part. The creating a unique bonus, that is, if you've got just a few more minutes, like maybe we could spend a couple of minutes going through some examples of the creating a unique bonus and the joint venture with other affiliates. What's really yielding you the best results these days?
These days, the best results come when I offer my time. And I know that not everybody will take me up on it. And unlike, you know, like the gym loves when you sign up and then don't come back.
Mm-hmm.
You're their favorite customer then.
Right.
I don't like if somebody buys something to get my 20-minute laser, you know, phone session or ongoing webinars, whatever it is, and then they don't come. I don't like that. So then I email them. And I have one fellow now, and he has a really long last name. I'm not sure where in the world he's from, but he wrote and he said, thank you so much for continuing to poke at me. That's how he worded it. He said, because that lets me know that you're a real person and that you care about what I'm doing. And I thought, okay, I'm going to poke at you. So, you know, I like to do that in a nice way, because I think some people think like, oh, you know, don't email the person, then you'll remind them that they bought something. But that's really mean, and it's wrong thinking. I think you have to course correct your thinking on that and say, you know, let me write to the person and remind them of what they purchased and see how they can really get the most value from it. How nice would that be?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're offering time as one of your unique bonuses. Now, that's okay if you really love people, right? If you don't like people all that much, you're going to have to figure out something else to offer.
Well, but you can do it differently. So, like, just say the bonus that I'm offering right now, which is to look at the first product listing, mm-hmm. for the people that are buying Dennis's Amazon FBA. And I will tell you, that in one of my emails, I suggested that if they'd already bought it or were in his membership and had access to it and wanted my bonus, they should buy it a second time. Ooh. And many, many people are buying it a second time.
Yeah,
because my bonus was worth it. And I did that with one of Armin Morin's $2,500 courses. My bonus was so good that people were buying it when they already had access to it through his program, and I had to call them up to their office and say, if you see sales coming through, please don't refund them. These are people that want my bonus. So, but with this one, I'm reviewing the product, and I'm doing a critique slash review of their first product listing. Mm-hmm. I could do that by video. They could send me a link to it. Mm-hmm. I could take a look and record, you know, up to 5 minutes of me saying, well, here, right here, change this. Or your picture on this side, you know, this one's too small, do it this way. So you could do it like that and then send them the link. Or, you know, I mean, you could have, like, your tech team be back in touch with them. You know, it's still me looking at the product, it's me talking, it's me giving my review, and then that way I don't have to have a conversation with them necessarily. It would all be said right there.
Okay. And the part, and you can do this now because you've, these really are kind of getting started, something to offer, and then this is a really advanced strategy right here, the joint venture thing. But you can do the something to offer because you have experience and you have expertise now that you can impart to other people. And depending on the type of promotion that we're doing, the people, people don't understand that they already have expertise that they can offer.
Yes.
So talk a little about that. How to determine you got the expertise.
All right. So in the beginning, we just don't feel like we're an expert.
Right.
And I have a compilation book coming out of that, Positioning Yourself as an Expert, will be out in the next couple of weeks. And I said, you know, in the beginning that I thought, well, you know, who would want to do anything with me? I don't know it. I know less than mm-hmm. nothing. I have a negative number. And that really isn't true. We all have so much experience from our life, from work we've done, from schools we've gone to, from situations in the family. We all have a level of expertise that, because anybody, you can challenge me with this with any single human being. I can spend maybe 15, 20 minutes talking to them, and I can find an area, and you can tell in their demeanor if you're in person with them. Mm-hmm. You can say, oh, well, you know, I don't know anything about autism. You know, I guess that's something they'll cure one day. Well, if somebody has that in their family,
right,
all of a sudden they'll set up straight, and they'll say, no, my son is autistic. Let me tell you my experience with that. They're an expert in
right.
that. An expert. And they make no bones about it. So we all have things. And it's usually not just one or two things. We all have a whole lot of things that we can say, no, that's not true. If somebody tells me something about small dogs, I have 5-pound dogs. And I have 5 of them, and it doesn't make a 25-pound dog. It still is 5 5-pound dogs. So I have expertise in that. If somebody makes a general statement about dogs, then I'll say, no, it's different with the small dog. Let me tell you why. So you have to really believe that you have that expertise. So look for it within business. And I don't have a business background. You know, I was a teacher, so that's not a business background. And then in real estate, I was really a service provider. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I didn't have business experience. I just didn't. So look for things that you really know how to do and can learn how to do. So I had an idea about WordPress, then I learned how to install WordPress and did it on a whole bunch of my own sites and broke a lot of them, made a big mess a lot of times, and then went back. You know, what's the next logical step? When it finally breaks, when it doesn't work, what did I do? Was it a plugin?
Right.
Did I click the wrong box? What did I do? And then once you learn that, then that becomes something you can offer to other people. So, you know, believe that you have expertise in certain areas and believe that everything in business, I learned this from Brian Tracy, everything in business is a learnable skill. When I heard him say that at a live event around 2006, it really changed my life so much because I thought, oh, good, I don't have to be born with a whole lot of this knowledge and intuition and all this. It's a learnable skill. I can learn it. It may take me a while to learn it, but I can do it. I can make it happen.
Very good. I like that a lot. And Victoria says, to a third grader, a fourth grader is a god.
Yes.
Which makes a lot of sense.
It makes a lot of sense. Yes, which is kind of, you know, like when you're teaching NAMs, when you're teaching the 100 level, well, you're already at least the 200 level, at least, probably 400 or above. So, you know, that's important that you can share that.
That's right. That's right. All right. So then the third strategy is that advanced strategy that you brought us of joint venturing with other affiliates. Are there specific ways that this need to be done, or is this just basically by reaching out to people and making connections?
It's really reaching out and making connections, but what I would recommend is become an affiliate for, you know, a whole lot of programs, especially the more expensive programs. So, like, you know, this one that I did recently, they came to me and wanted me to be an affiliate, and I agreed, and I even mailed for videos mm-hmm. in the beginning, but with no intention of selling it through my own affiliate link. But that gave me access to the leaderboard, which is what I wanted. I wanted to see where is everybody ranking, how many of the people in the top 10 do I know, and I knew about half of them. Mm-hmm. So then I had that opportunity to choose who I was going to reach out to. If the first one I had reached out to had said, no, I don't think we're going to do it that way, I would have said, okay, thank you, mm-hmm. next. Mm-hmm. You know, so we're all kind of disposable and dispensable in different ways, right? So I went to the person that I thought was the top person, but I wouldn't have stopped there if they hadn't been open to it.
So basically you made a proposal to somebody about how to do this, right? That what your idea was on
yes.
this. And yes. If you wouldn't mind, go through your idea again about this, about what you're doing when you're joint venturing with affiliates to help them climb the leaderboard.
Yeah, you're helping them climb the leaderboard. So you're looking for people that are already in the top, but everybody wants to be number one. And, you know, the person that I ended up doing with had been number one in the past and knew they were going to be number one and knew they did not need me. And I knew that they knew that.
Okay.
But I had a relationship with them, so they were open to doing that. Because all the people that I brought in, which was quite a few, I mean, more than 25, mm-hmm. which is nice, mm-hmm. all those people that I brought in were people that potentially they could have brought in on their own, but it would have taken a whole lot more time and effort during a crunch time, during a 10-day period where everybody ends up exhausted from it. I wasn't exhausted. I didn't do anything more during that time than I usually do. Mm-hmm. But I knew that they would be, and they would appreciate my support, my loyalty, my willingness to do what I needed to do to bring people in, to be persuasive in the right way at the right time with the right people.
Mm-hmm.
And the result then is, you know, everybody made more money, and I honestly believe that the people I brought in really will change their lives with this training.
So you actually made them an offer they couldn't refuse, really. I mean, there was no downside for these guys when you did this. They may have done it, may not. People may not want to do it because of the concept. They're not used to the concept. They don't want to. They're not sure that they want to participate in something like that. But really, what you're doing is helping them win a contest.
Yes.
Okay, and make more money, and make more money.
Yes, because you know, like with this one, and it happens pretty much. I'm trying to think of the other ones. I guess it was the same thing. In addition to the money you earn, there's a huge bonus involved.
Yep.
So that money really, really gets up there. It's really a lot. So, you know, the way I do it, I'm always trying to be as polite as possible, as respectful as possible. There you are. You're letting someone named Sven lead the way?
Sven. Sven only won that contest with 1,500. And he continued to send clicks after the contest. But I ended at 9:35 and redirected my clicks elsewhere after that. But the reason I have this up is this is exactly what you were talking about. This is 20 people who became an alliance to support Alex in the Ebon Pagan launch. And so we promoted his link, and Alex had cash prizes for the first five. And the first three, and this was what was important for me, was being in the first three so that I could be part of the case study for the entire thing. Because the case study was going to be distributed by Ebon to everybody, right?
Okay. So what could you have done, David, to crush Kathleen like a bug? I don't know her.
Yeah, you know, to tell the truth,
I don't know Sven.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't know either one of them. But to tell the truth, I got exactly where I wanted. I got a cash prize, and I also got in the guide. That's all I was concerned about, is making certain.
Okay, so you met your goal.
I did.
You definitely met your goal.
I wanted to make sure this person did not get in. I had to crush her like a bug. So
okay.
I did use some specific techniques to get her crushed. But other than that,
okay,
that was
good.
It. So
good. Because a lot of people looked at these leaderboards.
Yeah.
They really do. And I know early on with me, when I started showing up on leaderboards, wherever I happened to be, and sometimes they show the top 20, and I never minded being number... to this day, I don't mind being number 20. At least you're there. You're in the game. You're
That's
playing.
That's right.
But then other people that see that will reach out to you in different ways and sometimes offer you an opportunity. And other than that, just want to let you know that they know who you are and make that initial connection.
And I'm going to add this here. I actually have a folder on my computer where I have snapshots of leaderboards.
Okay.
Because that, to me, is really important to know who the players are and know who can drive traffic. So whenever I'm involved in a contest, or whether I'm watching a contest or an affiliate for a program, even if I'm not promoting, I want to know who the leaders are. And I always try to grab the leaderboard shot so I can go back to those people at some point and try to work with them.
Yeah, because I know in one of your contests, I think it was like a New Year's, an end of the year
yep.
contest, I went back and forth between like first, second, third, and so I kept the snapshot of me up in like in third place. I kept that where I could, you know, keep opening it and looking at that picture. That made me work harder because
yep.
I thought, I don't like that. I want to be number one in that
yep.
one.
I understand.
And I don't have 100% control because of a member, but I thought, I'm going to do everything within my control to make that
mm-hmm.
happen. And so that was very motivating mm-hmm. for me.
Yep. Connie, we're running out of time here, and we've answered all the
right.
questions here, and I really appreciate your time. It has been a good, good morning.
Oh, thank
and,
you for having me.
You know, we've learned a lot here about different ways to create additional affiliate marketing income and all kinds of to really blossom that into that seven-figure goal that you have and that we all have, that you've achieved and that we all are trying to follow your lead.
Yes, but I'll make it clear that half of my income is from affiliate marketing.
Mm-hmm. But a lot of it is from the connections you've made from the affiliate marketing, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So there you go. So Abby says, thank you. Fantastic session. Stan says, thank you for the time and the expertise. And we have lots of folks.
And thanks. To all
yeah.
Me.
And this will be available for all of our members tomorrow. We have an afternoon session where we're going to come up with plans for implementation and how we will build our challenge next month in the Insiders Group. We'll have a 30-day challenge next month on affiliate marketing and building all this out. And this afternoon's is a webinar jam, not a GoToWebinar. So be sure you are registered for that, and we'll see you at 2:00. Thanks, Connie.
Thanks, David. Bye-bye. Bye, everyone.